You ever feel like the trees are watching you? Not in a creepy haunted forest way, in a you're not supposed to be here kind of way. Well, deep in the Brazilian jungle, far past the rivers, past the bugs, past the point of common sense, three men sat by a dying fire. One of them, slumped over in his boots, was scribbling something in his notebook. His name was Percy Fawcett. You've probably heard the name before. British explorer, tough as nails, real-life Indiana Jones. Except the snakes were real. In the jungle, didn't care how many medals he had back home. It's May 29th, 1925, and Fawcett's writing one last message. Z is real. I am close. He tucks the note into his boot. Not exactly the safest Dropbox folder, but hey, Wi-Fi wasn't great out there. And then, silence. No body, no wreckage, no gear. Just gone. He didn't send another message. No one came out of the jungle. No one came back for decades. People say he got killed by tribes. Some say disease. Others say the jungle swallowed him whole. But here's the part nobody talks about. He wasn't looking for gold. He wasn't lost. He had a map. And he believed, down to his bones, that an ancient city was waiting out there. A city no one had ever found. Because no one was supposed to. A city he called Z. He didn't vanish chasing a legend. He vanished because the legend was real. Hey, if you're still here, it means you're not just here for the surface level stories. You're chasing something deeper, like we are. So please do me a favor, hit subscribe, because if we don't build this community, the algorithm isn't going to help us and no one's going to tell these stories at all. All right, onward. All right, so let's just cut the jungle vines and say it. The lost city of Z wasn't a city. It wasn't lost, and it wasn't called Z. That name? That was made up by one guy, Percy Fawcett, because the actual name of the place had been erased for so long. No one even remembered it had one. But here's the real twist. Z might not have been a single place at all. It might have been everywhere. Because what if the Amazon, the so-called untouched jungle, used to be a civilization? Not a kingdom, not a bunch of grass huts. We're talking a network of cities, of roads, of canals, of farms that grew out of man-made soil so rich we still can't copy it today. Yeah, you heard that right. The same rainforest we thought was too wild for advanced culture may have been designed. Now, that sounds crazy until you bring in the receipts. And one of the biggest receipts is something called LIDAR. Let's break down what that really means. LIDAR stands for light detection and ranging. It's like radar, but with lasers instead of radio waves. You shoot it from a plane or a drone, and it blasts through tree cover, bounces off the ground, and comes back with a map of what's underneath. It's basically jungle X-ray vision. And when scientists started using it on the Amazon, boom, roads, towns, bridges, massive platforms, geometric city grids. In some places, like Ecuador and Bolivia, they found entire urban networks under the trees. Not just one site, not one city, dozens. So let that sink in. We used to think the Amazon was too wild to build in. Now it turns out it may have been built, and not just built, engineered. In the soil? Artificial. The waterways? Dug and channeled. The orchards? Planted in patterns. The cities? Connected like a circuit board. So maybe Z was never a shiny lost city with gold temples and glowing treasure like some cartoon. Maybe Z was the name Fawcett gave to a pattern he couldn't unsee. Because what he was chasing wasn't a legend. It was a system. A living, breathing infrastructure built by people who figured out how to turn the jungle into a machine that fed them, protected them, and connected them. But then it all disappeared. Or at least it seemed like it did. Until LiDAR turned the lights back on. And here's where it gets even weirder. The jungle didn't erase it. We did. So here's the thing. Most people talk about Percy Fawcett like he was some kind of Victorian Indiana Jones, storming through the jungle with a machete and monocle and a dream. But the real Percy? He was less movie hero and more obsessed military cartographer with a haunted look in his eye. Let's break it down. He started off as a British artillery officer, which means he wasn't afraid of loud noises or getting shot at. Then he trained with the Royal Geographical Society, where they basically handed him a compass and said, "Hey, go make the edges of the map less embarrassing." And during World War I, things get interesting. Fawcett didn't just draw maps. There's strong evidence he worked with British intelligence, what would eventually become MI6, kind of like the UK's version of the CIA. Some of his assignments? Classified. Parts of his journals? Still missing. So no, this wasn't some rich dude backpacking through Brazil for fun. Fawcett was trained, tactical, and very possibly tied into deeper missions. Which begs the question, was he just hunting ruins? Or was something else going on? Because by the early 1900s, Fawcett was deep in South America, mapping border disputes between Brazil and Bolivia. This wasn't a friendly little stroll through the jungle either. No GPS, no roads, just vine-choked trails, rivers full of piranhas, and poison frogs that looked like Skittles. He didn't care, because he wasn't just walking in circles. He was building a theory. You see, Fawcett believed that there was something ancient out there, something real, and he was trying to triangulate it like a detective. He used old colonial texts, including the infamous Manuscript 512, which claimed explorers once saw stone cities in the jungle. He gathered indigenous oral history, stories of places with paved roads, walled compounds, even temples. And then he did something, kind of unexpected. He brought a magnetometer, a device that measures shifts in the Earth's magnetic field. And why? Because Fawcett believed the city, whatever it was, might be built on top of a natural energy line. Geomagnetism, power spots, jungle ley lines. Now, was that idea a little out there? Yeah, sure. But not insane, because indigenous civilizations all over the world aligned their cities with stars, solstices, and sometimes the land's energy. Fawcett thought the jungle was hiding something designed. Not random ruins, a civilization. So he gave it a name. He called it Z. And once it was in his head, it never left. Not after the war, not after being laughed at by scholars, not after expeditions nearly killed him. He kept going back. He didn't go looking for fantasy. He went looking for what the textbooks forgot. Okay, so up until this point, everything we've said could still sound like explorer bedtime stories, journals, theories, disappearances. But now, we bring the receipts. Because in the last two decades, especially the last 3 years, technology cracked the jungle open like a coconut. And what it found underneath changed everything. First, the tech. It's called LiDAR. A quick breakdown. LiDAR stands for light detection and ranging. It's basically a laser shotgun strapped to a drone or a plane. It blasts thousands of light pulses per second through the treetops. Those pulses bounce off the ground, come back, and a computer builds a 3D map of what's underneath all the vines, trees, and brush. It's basically jungle X-ray vision. But when scientists finally used it on the Amazon, they didn't just find ruins. They found grids, roads, platforms, plazas, entire cities. Not random piles of rocks, city plants. So let's talk about the big three. First up, Kasarabi culture in Bolivia. In 2022, a paper in Nature, one of the most respected science journals on Earth, dropped the bomb. LIDAR scans revealed 26 ancient sites in the Llanos de Mojos region of Bolivia. These weren't just huts in the woods. They had tiered platforms, canals, reservoirs, and long roads connecting everything together. Some of the roads were straight for miles, which, try doing that through jungle without bulldozers. The scientists called it low-density urbanism, which is just a polite way of saying there were cities here, a lot of them. We just missed them for 500 years. All right, next, we have Upano Valley in Ecuador. This one is brand new, published in early 2024 in Science Advances. LIDAR scans of the Upano Valley uncovered more than 6,000 structures. That's not a misspeak, 6,000. There were plazas, roads, platforms, and what looked like entire neighborhoods. This wasn't some random village. This was urban planning, and it was old, before the Inca, before Spanish contact, before anyone thought cities could survive in the Amazon. And finally, we have Cuicugu in Brazil. Now, this one's personal. Because back in the early 2000s, Michael Heckenberger, an American archaeologist, was invited by the Cuicuru people in Brazil to explore an area their ancestors spoke of. And guess what? They found it. Circular cities with moats, palisades, and roads that ran straight through the forest like they were cut by laser. There were bridges, dams, fish traps, and garden grids, all hidden under the trees. The Cuicuru weren't just walking through history, they were descended from it. In their stories, they weren't myths, they were memories. So now here's where it gets even crazier. Let's talk dirt. Because the jungle didn't just build roads and cities, it made its own super soil. It's called terra preta, which means dark earth in Portuguese. And it's not natural. This soil was made by human hands, using charcoal, bone, broken pottery, and composted waste, layered over time. It's nutrient-rich, self-regenerating, and still outperforms most modern farming soil to this day. Scientists still can't replicate it perfectly. That's how advanced it is. Oh, and it's been patented. You can actually look it up. So this isn't speculation, it's a receipt written in dirt. And here's the real kicker. This soil shows up all over the Amazon, in patches, in grids, like blueprints for a vanished system. So the next time someone says the Amazon was too wild to build cities in, ask them why people would make perfect farming soil, dig geometric canals, lay down roads, and then just decide to go back to chasing monkeys. This wasn't primitive survival. It was ecological engineering on a civilizational scale. No jungle legend would be complete without a sketchy old document that shows up just in time to make things more confusing. And for this one, that document is called Manuscript 512. It sounds spooky, right? Like something you'd find in a locked Vatican vault, next to a cursed painting and some ancient bloodline secrets. But nope, it's real. You can go see it, sitting in the Brazilian National Library. It was written in the 18th century by a Portuguese explorer, probably a guy with zero sunscreen and way too much ambition. And in it, he claims he found something big. So what does it actually say? Manuscript 512 describes a ruined city deep in the Brazilian interior, with stone buildings, arches, statues, inscriptions in an unknown language, and, because of course, buried treasure. It even claims there were Greek-style columns out there, in the jungle. So now let's pause. This has all the ingredients of a classic explorer tall tale. Mysterious language, check. Shiny stuff, check. Just enough detail to seem real, but vague enough that you'll never find it again. Triple check. Even historians admit this thing is probably embellished. Maybe a lot. But here's what makes it dangerous. Fawcett believed it. He read manuscript 512 and became obsessed. He basically carried it like scripture. It gave him coordinates, sort of, descriptions, clues, and it whispered one message. There's something buried in Brazil that the world forgot. And to be fair, he wasn't the only one who thought that. Enter Brazil's 1800s empire vibes. Back in the 19th century, Brazil was trying to prove something. They wanted to show the world they had history, real history. Not just jungle and gold mines and people in loincloths, which is how Europe saw them at the time. They wanted ruins. They wanted their own version of Rome or Greece or Egypt. So, manuscript 512, it became a kind of national treasure roadmap. Expeditions were funded. Maps were drawn. Treasure hunters packed their machetes. It didn't even matter if the document was 100% real. It felt real, and that was enough to send people running into the jungle for the next 100 years, including Fawcett. Okay, but here's the twist. Manuscript 512 didn't lead to a Greek temple in the trees. It didn't lead to treasure or alien tech or any of the things the storybook version promised. But what it did do was open the door. It got people thinking, wait, what if there is something deeper out there? And because of that, expeditions happened. People searched. Data got collected. And over time, that helped uncover the actual ruins buried under the canopy. Which means, even if manuscript 512 was a stretch, it still moved the needle. It built the mythology that pointed people toward real archaeology. It was a red herring, yeah, but one with a hook. It might have been fiction, but it led real men into a very real system. Alright, so let's rewind the clock, way back, before Fawcett, before manuscript 512, before anyone in Europe had even figured out how big the Amazon really was. It's 1542, and a Dominican friar named Gaspar de Carvajal is sitting in a canoe, soaking wet, half-starved, and scribbling notes. He's traveling with Francisco de Orellana, the first European to navigate the entire Amazon River, which, by the way, is not a casual Sunday cruise. They're dodging arrows, eating leather, and trying not to die every 15 minutes. But what Carvajal writes down, it's bonkers. He describes giant riverside cities, massive causeways, people farming in organized plots, villages that went on for miles. He sees defensive walls, ceremonial buildings, and get this, boats big enough to carry dozens of warriors. Basically a jungle empire. And for the next 500 years, historians said, yeah, no, he made that up. Because here's the thing about Carvajal's journal. It sounded too impressive, too advanced, too inconvenient. It clashed with a narrative Europe wanted, that the Americas were mostly wilderness, empty, chaotic, primitive, ready to be civilized. So, Carvajal's account got shelved in the probably hallucinating section of history. For centuries, academics said that the Amazon is too fragile for big civilizations, that the soil's too poor, that cities couldn't survive there. In the translation, this doesn't fit our theory, so toss it. But then, fast forward to the modern day. LIDAR starts scanning the jungle, and suddenly, Carvajal's journal isn't crazy anymore, because those same grids, roads, platforms, and massive agricultural fields he described, they're there, right where he said they'd be. He wasn't seeing mirages. he was seeing urbanism built by people who knew how to live with the jungle instead of just chopping it down. Turns out, those impossible cities, they were real. And the only reason they disappeared was because the jungle took them back, and we stopped looking. In fact, the idea that indigenous cities couldn't exist in the Amazon, that was the hallucination. Because now, satellite data, soil analysis, and ground excavation all line up with what Carvajal wrote by hand while floating down a river in the 1500s. He wasn't exaggerating. He was documenting a world we chose to forget. And maybe he knew it wouldn't last. He wasn't hallucinating. He was leaving us a warning wrapped in a map. Okay, so let's talk about one of the biggest lies in history. The idea that the Amazon has always been this untouched, wild paradise full of parrots and poison frogs and absolutely no humans doing anything important. You know the image. Trees for days, birds chirping, maybe a lost tribe throwing spears at a drone. And sure, the jungle's beautiful, but that whole idea of it being pristine wilderness? Yeah, that's a scam. Because the truth is that the Amazon used to be full of people. We're talking millions of people, with farms, roads, cities, and actual social systems. And then they vanished. But here's the part no one tells you. They didn't disappear because of some mystery. They disappeared because of us. So let's rewind the clock again, back to 1492, when Columbus shows up and things start going downhill fast. Over the next 150 years, from about 1492 to 1650, over 90% of the indigenous population in the Americas dies. 90. That's not a misspeak. We're talking mass death on a scale the planet had never seen before. And it wasn't all war. Most of it was disease. Smallpox, measles, flu, diseases that Europeans had built up immunity to over centuries, hit native populations like a nuke. They had no defenses, none. It wiped out families, leaders, healers, farmers, entire cultures. And it happened fast. Now, toss in slave raids, colonial warfare, and the lovely arrival of rubber barons a few centuries later, and you've got yourself a total collapse. And here's what happens next. Without people maintaining the roads, cities, and farms, the jungle took it all back. And I don't mean over centuries. We're talking decades. You see, in tropical rainforests, nature doesn't wait. Trees grow like rockets. Vines pull down walls. Rain floods old canals, and within a generation, it looks like no one was ever there. Imagine New York City abandoned. Then imagine vines crawling up the skyscrapers, roots busting through the pavement, and giant leaves growing out of the subway in 50 years. That's how fast the jungle works. So when European explorers showed up later and said, "Wow, this place is empty, no civilization here," they weren't seeing the truth. They were seeing the aftermath. The Amazon wasn't untouched. It was erased. And the erasure was so good, even historians bought it. They looked around and said, no ruins, no problem. These people must have just lived in the trees. Which, by the way, is ridiculous. You don't build terra preta, layout plazas, or dig 30-mile causeways because you're bored with monkey watching. But here we are, centuries later, still unlearning the idea that indigenous people in the Amazon were just wanderers in loincloths. The cities didn't crumble. They were suffocated, and the jungle closed the grave. Now let's talk about how the jungle didn't just erase the evidence. Academia helped bury it. And yeah, that sounds dramatic, but it's also documented reality. Because for most of the 20th century, if you were a scientist, an archaeologist, or an anthropologist who said, "Hey, Maybe there were advanced civilizations in the Amazon. You were met with one of two things, either laughter or silence. The official story went like this. The Amazon is too harsh. The soil is too poor. The people were too scattered. It's impossible for cities to survive there. That theory, it wasn't based on evidence. It was based on bias. So let's break down some of the motives. First, colonial prejudice. European explorers, scholars, and civilizers rolled into South America with a superiority complex the size of Portugal. They looked at indigenous societies and didn't see civilizations. They saw obstacles. Obstacles to mining, farming, rubber extraction, and God's work. So it became convenient to say, hey, these people never had cities. They never had science. They never had culture. Because if you say that loud enough and long enough, you can justify taking their land, replacing their languages, and calling it progress. Next, we have the extraction interests. If the Amazon was full of ancient sites and cultural value, you can't tear it up for oil, beef, gold, or soy. But if it's just jungle, then it's fair game. So this myth that the Amazon was untouched or unorganized and uncivilized became very profitable. It made it easier for governments and corporations to bulldoze forests, build dams, and tell themselves a bedtime story about how nobody was using the land anyway. Next, we have scientific dogma. Now, here's the part that stings a little. Even well-meaning scientists got caught up in the lie. Because once a theory gets repeated enough, it stops being a theory. It turns into a rule or a sacred cow. And if you challenge that rule, you're not just wrong, you're a threat. So when real evidence started showing up, actual data, actual artifacts, and eventually LIDAR scans, you'd think the academic world would be thrilled. Spoiler alert, they were not. So now enter Michael Heckenberger. This guy wasn't some TV host with a machete and a six-pack. He was a Harvard-trained archaeologist who spent years working in the Brazilian Amazon with the Quikuru people, who are direct descendants of the builders he was studying. He didn't just read the maps. He listened. He learned. He dug. And he found circular cities, massive moats, plazas, roadways, and irrigation systems. And for his trouble, he got mocked, pushed to the fringe, and defunded. Because his work didn't fit the empty Amazon narrative. Even today, indigenous-led research, actual science done by the descendants of these civilizations, barely gets funding, rarely gets published, and almost never makes headlines. Weird how that works, huh? We'll throw millions of dollars at drone scans of Viking graves, but when it comes to living Amazonian cultures trying to rediscover their own past, crickets. So, it wasn't just erased by time. It was erased by the curriculum. All right, so let's stop for a second and ask a weird question. What if Percy Fawcett wasn't just out there looking for a lost city? What if that was just a cover story? Because here's where things start feeling less like a jungle adventure and more like a Cold War novel with mosquito bites. Fawcett wasn't just some dreamy explorer. He was British military, trained in artillery, surveying, and espionage adjacent logistics. During World War I, he served on the front lines. He was smart, tough, and he didn't exactly play by the rules. He also worked directly with the Royal Geographical Society, the same group that trained spies under the label of surveyors. And here's where it gets sketchy. He was sent to map disputed territories in South America. Sounds boring, right? But let's zoom in. He wasn't mapping tourist trails. He was mapping resources, rubber, gold, strategic waterways. At the time, rubber was like oil, and whoever controlled the jungle controlled the money. So, if you're the British Empire and you want intel on who owns what in the Amazon, who do you send? Someone smart. Someone low profile. Someone obsessed. Enter Fawcett. Now, officially, he was drawing borders between Bolivia and Brazil. But unofficially, there's been speculation, credible speculation, that he was also identifying hidden resources, mineral deposits, and even ancient trade routes that could lead to modern strategic advantages. So this is where the story breaks off into two paths. Path one, the lost city distraction. Fawcett writes and talks endlessly about Z, the city, the myth, the obsession. But the deeper you look, the more it feels like Z might have been a smokescreen. Because while the world was reading about temples and treasure, Fawcett was charting magnetic anomalies, logging river systems, and documenting unexplored regions rich in everything from ore to natural gas. And guess what? After his final disappearance, key pages of his field notes were redacted or went missing. They were in the hands of the Royal Geographical Society, his official backers. But somehow, certain maps, coordinates, and personal letters never made it to the public archives. No explanation, no apology, just gone. Path two, the forbidden find. Let's entertain the other possibility. What if Z was real? Not a gold-plated fantasy, but a real discovery. Something with the potential to shift history, or rewrite colonial narratives, or even expose secrets about who was in the Amazon first. Something the Crown or its corporate backers did not want getting out. Because if Fawcett stumbled onto evidence of a thriving pre-Columbian civilization, territory controlled by indigenous groups with actual legal claims, or even ancient tech like Terra Preta and hydrological systems that rivaled modern designs, then that would have been a problem for empire, for industry, and for academia alike. And in that case, letting him vanish might have been easier than explaining what he actually found. Jungle accidents are very convenient that way. Now, he may have found something the Crown didn't want found, and they let the jungle take care of the rest. So now let's kill the last lazy myth, the one that says people in the Amazon were just wandering hunter-gatherers, barefoot, aimless, picking berries and dodging snakes. It's the idea that the jungle was too big, too wild, too overwhelming for anything we'd call a real civilization. You've seen the images. One dude with a bowl. Thatched hut. No streets, no science. Just surviving. And for decades, that was the default setting in textbooks. But now, the DNA is in. And it's flipping the whole thing upside down. You see, in 2023, several new genetic studies looked at the DNA of indigenous Amazonian groups. And what they found was game-changing. Because when scientists trace genetic diversity, they can spot things like population bottlenecks, essentially mass die-offs, migration patterns, and, this is the big one, long-term population stability. And what did the Amazon show? Well, not random nomads, not scattered camps. Instead, it showed large, stable populations that stayed in place for hundreds, sometimes thousands of years. In other words, these weren't people constantly on the move. They were settled. They had infrastructure. They had systems. The same things you find in cities. And not just one place. Multiple areas across the Amazon, Bolivia, Brazil, Peru, Ecuador, all showed the same pattern. Urban level clustering, even if it didn't look like European cities with stone walls and fountains. Some of the most recent studies built population density maps kind of like heat maps that show where people were concentrated before colonization hit. And guess what? Those maps line up with what LIDAR is now revealing from above. Long lines of settlements, dense clusters along rivers, patterns of trade routes and shared agricultural zones. And that's not an accident. That's a civilization. Maybe not one we understand yet. Maybe not one that left behind giant pyramids, but one that worked with the land instead of against it. Which honestly might be even more impressive. Because while Europe was busy building stone castles and sewage ditches, these folks were creating a living, regenerative ecosystem that fed millions and didn't destroy the environment doing it. So, now let's blow up the primitive lie. Let's just say it. Primitive is a garbage word. It was invented to rank people, to put one culture above another, to make it easier to steal stuff. But now, with genetics confirming deep lineage, stable city populations, and interconnected networks, that word collapses. These people were not primitive. They were advanced in ways we still don't fully understand. And if their buildings didn't survive, that's on the jungle. But their blood did, and it remembers everything. All right, I know I said that last one was the last one, but let's kill another myth real quick. The idea that ancient Amazonian people were isolated, cut off, trapped in vines, too busy wrestling jaguars to talk to their neighbors. Because if Z was real, and we now have plenty of receipts that it was, then here's the next logical question. Was Z part of something bigger? And the answer? Absolutely. First up, the evidence of trade. Modern archaeology, like stuff found in actual dig sites, shows clear proof of long-distance trade across South America that goes way beyond tribal bartering. We're talking spondylus shells from the Pacific coast, found deep in the jungle, hundreds of miles inland. Ceramics with shared styles and designs across distant regions. Tracings of metallurgy, metalworking, that didn't belong to just one local culture. Natural dyes and food items showing up where they don't grow, which means somebody was moving them. This isn't two villages swapping coconuts. This is an actual network, a supply chain, a regional economy, a jungle FedEx, if you will. Next, the Amazon and the Andes. One of the strongest connections is between the Amazon basin and the Andes Mountains. Now, for context, that's not a short walk, but ancient trade routes connected the highland civilizations like the Inca with lowland societies through rivers, footpaths, and jungle corridors. The Andes had metals. The Amazon had food, feathers, dyes, and medicinal plants, and they traded regularly. Some Andean records even describe goods coming from the east, from vast forests, where the sun wakes. And guess where that is? Yep, Z's backyard. Then there's the coast and the Caribbean. It wasn't just an Andes connection. Artifacts also suggest the Amazon was tied to the Pacific coast. Evidence from Ecuador and Peru shows goods flowing inward. The Caribbean and Orinoco Basin, with cultural influences moving between coastal tribes and deep jungle groups. Now, that's insane range. So these people weren't just surviving, they were connecting. Now we have the big theory of a continental grid. So here's where it gets really wild. Some researchers now believe that what we're seeing is a pan-continental system. So imagine something like the Silk Road, but in South America. A massive interlinked trade network connecting the Andes, the Amazon, the coasts, the river systems, and maybe the lost cities that kept it all running. which means Z wasn't the center of anything. It was a terminal node, a city at the edge of something much, much larger. So that changes the game completely, because now we're not looking for one city. We're looking for an entire grid, an ecosystem of knowledge, trade, power, and memory that spanned a continent and vanished before we even knew it was there. They weren't isolated in the jungle. They were the heart of the map. All right, so let's stop the jungle ride for a second. We've talked about cities under trees, soil that outperforms modern farming, and explorers who vanished like smoke. And now it's time to do something a lot of other channels skip. Let's get honest. No fog machines, no spooky music, just facts. Because you deserve to know what's actually real and what's still on the maybe pile. So let's start with LiDAR. It's verified. This isn't fringe. It's peer-reviewed, published in journals like Nature and Science Advances. LiDAR has revealed city-sized settlements, road networks, canals, and geometric plazas all buried under the Amazon canopy. Then Terra Preta, it's patented. We're talking human-made super soil that's still outperforming modern agri-tech hundreds of years later. There are US patents based on trying to copy this stuff. It wasn't an accident, it was designed. Then we have Carvajal's journal. It's cross-confirmed. Once laughed off as jungle fiction, it's now backed by modern scans that show settlements in the exact areas he described 500 years ago. The man wasn't hallucinating, he was reporting. And the Kuhikugu? It's excavated, not a theory. Actual archaeologists working with the Kuikuru people have uncovered moats, causeways, and city layouts that match indigenous memory. It's real, it's mapped, it's been peer-reviewed. Now, what about manuscript 512? Well, that's questionable. This one's tricky. It's a real document sitting in the Brazilian National Library, but it reads more like a tall tale than a field report. Some of it may be true. Some may be nationalistic fan fiction. So let's just say it. Fawcett believed it. We're not sure we do. Now, Fawcett's fate? It's still unknown. No body, no gear, no solid explanation. Theories? Plenty. Killed by hostile tribes. Got sick and died. Starved. Chose to stay. Got disappeared. We don't know. And anyone who tells you they do is selling a book. Now, a disinformation campaign? That's plausible. Was there a coordinated effort to paint the Amazon as empty and primitive? Look at the funding. Look at the academic pushback. Look at how long indigenous knowledge was ignored, dismissed, or straight up erased. So yeah, based on the receipts, that's not a conspiracy. That's a pattern. So, bottom line, this story isn't about treasure. It's not about some lost golden city. It's about how easy it is to bury the truth when the truth doesn't fit the story people want to tell. The myth was never the danger. The danger was when the myth started checking out. After all the data, all the receipts, and all the jungle drama, this story isn't really about a city. It's about people. It's about millions of people, families, farmers, builders, engineers, healers, who lived in a world we were told didn't exist. And when we showed up, we didn't just ignore that world, we erased it. The Amazon was never empty. That's the part that hits the hardest. It wasn't a blank canvas. It wasn't some untouched wilderness waiting to be discovered. It was cleared out by disease, by greed, by silence. And then, for the next 500 years, the jungle grew back like a curtain, hiding everything we didn't want to admit was ever there. We ignored the voices who lived there. The people who remembered the road systems. The ones who told stories of lost cities and buried knowledge. We called those stories myths. We called their science luck. We called their memory primitive. And when they said, "We used to be many, not few," we nodded politely and walked away. But the jungle didn't forget. It held on to the soil. It kept the road alignments. It protected the cities under its skin. It didn't scream. It waited until the tools got good enough to see what was always there. And now that we can see it, we have a choice. Do we go back and pretend it was all just a fantasy? Or do we finally listen? Because this isn't just about maps and ruins and ancient tech. This is about respect. It's about how we tell stories, who gets to be remembered, and who gets erased. So, here's the hope. The fact that we're even having this conversation means the erasure didn't fully work. The jungle still remembers. So do the people. And so can we. And maybe this isn't just a story about what was lost. Maybe it's a story about what we can still learn if we shut up, pay attention, and let the truth grow back. Fawcett didn't vanish chasing gold. He vanished chasing the truth. The jungle didn't hide Z. We did. We buried it under bad maps, bad signs, and worse intentions. But the truth, it kept breathing under the vines. And now we're starting to see it again. So wherever you are, city, forest, or somewhere in between, don't stop asking the weird questions. Because sometimes the things we call myths are just memories we weren't ready to face. If this episode made you rethink history, share it, subscribe, press all the buttons that will help keep this video alive. Also, you can support the mission over at patreon.com/divergentfiles for as little as $3 a month. It's a small amount, but it's huge for the channel and takes us a long way in digging through these topics. Because while the algorithm pushes noise, this truth barely sees daylight. So until next time, stay curious, stay grounded, and remember, no matter what they tell you, the truth is still out there. These investigations are powered by those who believe truth still matters. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Join the mission at patreon.com/divergentfiles.